Peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Since I'm going to talk a little bit about hand washing, I probably need to start this by apologizing to my mother for what I'm going to say. You'll understand why. Because my mother was like probably everybody else's mother. You got called to dinner, but that was preceded by go wash your hands. Because you had to have your hands washed before you came to the dinner table. So it doesn't seem really unwise or even unreasonable the Pharisees to say, hey, Jesus, your boy's here. They didn't wash their hands. I think Marvin Udall would have made a great Pharisee. Marvin was all about cleanliness. He was a repugnant person. Nobody liked him. He was weird. He talked out of turn. He spoke to people in ways that people didn't want to be spoken to. He was very abrupt. A little bit bigoted. Didn't mind telling people what his opinions were. He didn't like human contact. He really didn't like conversation much with people. He didn't like people getting in his way. In fact, he didn't hesitate when he went to his favorite restaurant and found people sitting at his table at his allotted time to sit there and stand there and berate them and wonder why it was taking them so long to eat until they left the table in a huff. And so when he got thrown out of his favorite restaurant, he received a standing ovation as he left in shame. Marvin didn't like Melvin. Excuse me, I knew I was going to do this. It's Melvin, not Marvin. Melvin didn't like human contact so much that when he returned home every day, he would wash his hands. Not the way I would wash my hands. Not the way you would wash your hands, I hope. He had bars of Neutrogena soap, you know, the gold stuff. And he would go to the sink, he would open up his cabinet, and they would be stacked in his medicine cabinet. And he would take out 6 of these bars, and he would lay them across the sink, and he would turn the water on hot to the point of scalding. And he would open up one of the bars. He would wash his hands with the bar. He would dump the bar into the trash. And he would repeat this 5 other times with the remaining bar of soap to be able to make sure he was clean. Marvin had a problem. He had a problem because he was living a life that was focused so much on routine that he did it at the expense of the world around him. That the routine of his life took precedent, and that was what had to be followed at the expense of everything and everyone else. He could have been a Pharisee. It was part of the conversation Jesus was having as the Pharisees came in and said, hey, wait a minute, they didn't wash their hands. They're not in keeping with the tradition of the elders. Now, that's an important phrase, the tradition of the elders, because we would like to think that the Pharisees were all concerned about the law and everything that that encompassed, the law being the things you found in the Torah in the Old Testament that tell us exactly what you're supposed to do and not do. But it wasn't. It was the tradition that they were concerned about. If you notice at the top of the gospel lesson, there's a lot of spaces. How's it go? Chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, 14 to 15, 21 to 23. So there's little spaces missing there. One of the spaces that's missing is Jesus talking about God's word, which he makes reference to in terms of, well, you're worried about the tradition, but you're not worried about the ordinances of God. And the part that was taken out of there was the whole idea of them finding a loophole for the fourth commandment. Honor thy mother and thy father. So, honor wasn't just a matter of treating your parents nice. Honoring your folks really was about a lifelong commitment you had to them, and as they grew old, you were responsible for their well-being. You needed to pay their bills, you needed to feed them, put them up, whatever they could do when they didn't have the ability to be able to bring in money of their own. It was the law. And so the loophole was created at some point in the life there that if you made a pledge to the temple that you were going to basically bequeath everything that you had to the temple at some point in time in your life, even if it was the hour before you died, well, all that stuff goes to God then. And you just simply tell your parents, I got nothing to give you. Everything I have's going to God. And so, it ends up being that the Pharisees had created this system that'd be able to simply sidestep that one commandment, that one of those Ten Commandments that was supposed to be really the center of life within Judaism. Don't worry about your parents, but make sure your hands are washed before you eat. But Jesus was pretty quick about pointing out what he saw as a general disconnect in terms of what you're supposed to do and who you're supposed to listen to and what's really not important. It's been going on for centuries, this battle between tradition and what we're really supposed to be doing. Tradition's one of these things that pastors love. Don't they, Dennis? You betcha. Because in tradition, we inevitably run into the person that says, well, pastor, that's not the way we do things around here. Because that's the tradition. I had a friend, when he graduated from seminary, got a call, God bless him, in the middle of Pennsylvania, in central Pennsylvania, in York County, Pennsylvania, where it is claimed that Lutherans are denser there than anyone else. Because in York County, Pennsylvania, there are more Lutherans per capita than there are in any other county in the United States. What's that? Yeah, that denser. Actually, I think the door swings both ways. So there's this thing for a lot of us when you graduate from seminary, you're going out into the world, you're doing God's calling, you're going to change the world, you're going to make this a tremendous place, you're going to be the best pastor there ever was. And so Corey went in to do exactly that. And everything was fine. He really was a hardworking sort of guy, but there was something that just wasn't working. People weren't real happy when worship was over. And it seemed to get worse and worse, and worse. And there's always a problem when you deal with a congregation that's over 200 years old. Because they have these things that get created. These traditions that become almost more important than God's Word. And so finally, he called his predecessor. This guy had been the pastor of this church for 35 years prior to Corey showing up, and he couldn't understand what was going on. And he said there was a lot of grumbling, not so much about the sermons, but about how he did communion. And he was following everything according to the book, you know, in terms of the rules that they teach you in seminary. And somebody had mentioned something to somebody else that he had heard through that telephone chain sort of game about the radiator. And so he asked. He said, oh yeah, the old pastor said I'd always go over to the radiator on the side of the sanctuary in the chancel area, and I would touch chalice against it. Why? He said, well, I always wore leather-soled shoes, and that carpet was really thick, and so it would discharge the static electricity so I wouldn't shock anybody. And that became the tradition. And so people were unhappy because there wasn't the touching of the radiator, which suddenly had become this large, grand part of how you're supposed to do communion. And this is what Jesus was battling with the Pharisees. The whole idea of tradition taking over what the reality of the gospel was supposed to be, what the reality of God's word and God's law was supposed to be. And Jesus fought it. Luther fought it. And Corey tried to fight it, but he gave up and just touched the radiator. You see, we have to be really careful within our world that we don't find ourselves getting diverted away from God's word because we're so concerned about what a certain tradition might be, about doing things the way they're supposed to be done on a regular basis. And these traditions in and of themselves are not necessarily bad, but they become that way if they are the reason why we do things as opposed to following that word that God has placed within our lives. Because it is that word that God has blessed us with that needs to be the center of our lives. It is that word that we take our traditions from and filter them through God's word to be able to understand whether there's something that's good for us or not. It is God's word that leads us and guides us throughout our time. And when we start doing things that allow us to kind of sidestep God's word or look the other way, then we find ourselves heading in the wrong direction. Now you might be thinking I'm saying something about traditions that are going on here at Living Water, but understand the beauty of being at a church that's about 15 years old is the fact that there aren't a whole lot of traditions. And most of you have brought traditions in from other places. And so there is not really this guiding force of a church that might be 200 years old that says, well, this is the way we do things around here. Because here it's, well, that's the way we do things around here last year. God has blessed us with His Word. And it is that Word that we are called to be able to use to guide our lives, to be able to be that guiding principle within all that we say and all that we do. Understanding that while we come up with maybe some very fine traditions and some rather peculiar ones through our interpretation of that word, it is that word alone that guides us. It is that word alone that sends us off into places to be able to do the work God would have us be doing within our lives. It is that word that saves us. It is that word that needs to certainly be the central focus of who we are and what we say and what we do. When we allow that to happen within our lives, then we approach the world undefiled. Cleanse not with hot water and soap and bronze pots and all the rest, but cleansed by God's word, cleansed by God's grace, cleansed by God's love. Amen.